Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart. And good evening. Welcome to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Trent Hart down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. Trent, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, we've got, you know, scrimmages kicking off here in football. We're almost in full swing. We're not quite in full swing. You and I have been really trying to get 599 Sports and NWAC Sports Live up and going. So it's a mad dash towards August 30th for me personally, because that's when our first football game is. But even better is that we've had a miracle in the podcast media world where we've got Toby Tullis in the hot box today. What is up with that?
Toby has made it to the hot box. I mean, and we'll talk about it. We were at the watermelon scrimmage yesterday, Toby.
I'm back, but I had an absence there for a while. But hey, it's football season, like, so I had to come back during football season.
Like, you remember that movie Summer School that was out like in the 90s, early 90s, yeah. And Oka's got hung up in the back. His zipper was stuck. He couldn't make it.
I'm back, though.
He is back.
I'm back and excited, so that's what counts.
It's good to have you in the Randy Drubs Hot
Box. I'm glad to be back. I sent a text out today and told you guys.
Better be ready.
Better be ready, yeah.
And we are.
Season's upon us.
We are. We Trent and I's been ready. Am I right, Trent?
Yeah, we did a podcast last Sunday that didn't even make it out there. We were so excited and ready.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
So the podcast that we did last week, and it was good because we ended it with who is your Mount Rushmore of Texas high school sports. And there's a post on Facebook on the 599 Sports page of who is your Mount Rushmore. You get four coaches or four athletes with two alternates.
Four athletes.
Right. And two
alternates. Texas bred athletes. They had to have gone to high school in Texas, and you can get two honorable mentions. So four plus your two honorable mentions. And I posted a picture of Mount Rushmore and real quick after we were done last week. And I expected it to take off a little bit better than what it did. And people have a little bit more conversation over it. But to our credit, I mean, we can think about it for another week, and we can present our actual four all-time greats in Texas athletics history maybe next week.
Well, and the thing is, and I think what'll help take that off is we got to get that podcast. The engineer needs to get that podcast put together and get it on Apple,
right,
and Spotify.
People's trying to listen and can't even find it.
Can't find it. I mean, that podcast is missing about as bad as what Toby was from November to August.
Oh,
you know you're going to catch us for a week or two.
I knew. That's why I took time off to be able to prep for this.
I mean, but I'm back. And we got an audience in the hot box today. He's posted up in the studios of Texas Podcast Media. When you set up in here at the round table, there's a saddle up here, and it was my grandpa's, and that is like that's the seat.
Kind of overlook everything.
Yeah, he's got a good view in case he didn't want to give up that spot over there because he'd been occupying Toby's seat here in the studios. And but he gave it up. He went to the saddle, riding it like he's a bareback rider right now. So, but man, I'm excited. So we got Toby and I, Trent, Friday night or Saturday morning, got up and we eased over to Cold Springs, high school stadium and watched the watermelon scrimmage, and a little bit different look for the Cold Spring Trojans this year, Toby.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was a different look. Trying to shuffle up some things, I guess, and do it differently going forward and try to get different results, you know, keep people off balance.
No, most definitely. And Trent, you had sent me a screenshot the other day as you was watching practice. Anahuac's going to have a little different look this year than what they had last year.
Most definitely. And before, don't hold me in suspense. Let's talk about Cold Spring first.
Guests first.
Then we'll go that route.
Yeah, we're going to let the guests go first. You know, Trent, if you remember correctly, as we progressed through the show last year, we let you go last, and you kind of persuaded us. So we want you to start off.
Yeah, we want you to start off
on the right foot.
Well, I mean, I haven't watched a whole lot of practice film like I've wanted to. I've really wanted to go to the scrimmage that we had here in Anahuac. I think pretty much everybody was, for the most part, around our area scrimmaging each other, having inter squads on Saturday. And as I was getting back from a cross country meet, they were just wrapping it up over here. But from what I have watched, it's going to be a little bit of a different look, but there's going to be a lot of familiarity. Especially with a Greg Neese offense. I mean, the jet sweeps are going to be there. Your bubble passes over there that we've seen a lot of that Anahuac has done over the years on the sideline to sideline. I mean, but the biggest thing is getting this young quarterback, this junior quarterback, back into the mix and just having his mindset for the game for the Panthers is going to be huge. And I watched him when I sent you that screenshot. The four wide and even five wide at times spread offense is going to be very prevalent in the Anahuac Panthers this year.
So tell us about the quarterback. Is he back? Is that a new
position? Yeah, he's back. That's one of the things that you missed in the offseason that we had talked about.
Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, so let me catch. Let me catch Toby up a little bit. Back the year before last, Brady Barrier is his dad. Came over and was the quarterbacks and coach and assistant offensive coordinator, I believe, for Anahuac. And he had a great sophomore year. You know, it really injected life into that offense and just his, you know, his skill set and athleticism as far as his arm and knowing where to go with the football. He had a great sophomore year. Last year, he went over to Rusk. His dad got a job over there coaching at Rusk and had another good year statistically, but Rusk didn't really do a whole lot with as far as going into the playoffs and things of that nature. Fast forward to 2024, and Anahuac having a new primary school and an opening there at the elementary school, his mom came over and got the elementary principal job, which brought them back over here. And his dad is also on the coaching staff once again. Last year, we had a quarterback that came over from Hardin-Jefferson. They're still here. I think he's going to be moving to the outside now, as opposed to taking care of quarterback duties. But Brady Barrier is back in handling the reins for the Panthers underneath center. And you can just tell that the atmosphere surrounding Anahuac this year is completely different than it was last year. And talking about that, you know, that we talked about it the last podcast that nobody heard, is that the distractions for the Panthers are not going to be there nearly as much this year. I mean, and when I say distractions, the tragedy that happened last year, of course, is a thing that I wouldn't wish upon anybody or any school to have to go through and lose two kids and one tried to just severely injured. But I think that was weighing on Anahuac going through the season last year. And we saw it, we saw glimpses of great football from them. And then we all of a sudden the next week we didn't. And so this year is a completely different story, especially with getting Brady Barrier back in at quarterback. You can just tell just the overall mood. And I went to senior sunrise service Thursday, and the talk amongst all the daddies was Anahuac Panther football and what to expect this year and how good they're really looking even this early on. So with that said, I mean, it's I'm excited for it. I think that the Panthers have really got a tall order with this district. And I think even Matt Stepp said it in his right up of this district. It's really stout. When you put East Chambers in there, and you've got Cold Spring, Orangefield, and Kirbyville as the dark horse, who knows what's going to happen? So now we get to go over to y'all and see what did Cold Spring look like? What did Cold Spring's different look have to offer the both of y'all Saturday?
Well, I'm going to tell you, first and foremost, First Baptist Church, Cold Spring, they did a great job. Put some really good watermelon out there for the boys and the families. I know Case and I was able to enjoy it. Case got his hand up as here in the Texas Podcast Media studio, letting us know that he got some of that watermelon. So it's a tradition that they started about six years ago when Ken got here.
They started doing that. Really neat deal. And they used to, or every year up to this year, they would go over to the Jones campus, which was the old football stadium.
And if you've never been there to the old stadium, the stands aren't there. The field's there, but the way that field ran, I mean, it's kind of in a hole, in a sense.
Like, it's kind of down. You got so you can back your vehicles up, and you're right on top of the field, so you get the feel of seeing everything up close. And so it's a really neat deal. And this year they changed it at the last minute and had it on the regular practice fields at the high school. It's a neat tradition that they've started. Hopefully they'll continue to do that, but there was a lot of people. I mean, what would you say, probably 50, 60, 70 people? I mean,
yeah, there was a good bit of people there.
Maybe more, and each year it's just kind of gotten a little bit more, and First Baptist Church does a great job of purchasing all these watermelons, and they cut them all up, and then once the kids get done running, you know, ones and twos several different times, and they'll just pretty much call it up, and then it gives the fans a chance to kind of showcase and see what the team's going to do.
It does. And so we've seen a little bit different setup offensively. Mm-hmm. Seen the spread.
Yeah.
Something that we haven't seen an abundance of out of the Trojans really in a long while.
Right.
Since Mark Burb was here, we didn't see the spread. But Coach, I got a good interview with Coach Stanley, and I'm going to play it here in a minute. But you know, we've seen the spread. We got some we had some coaching changes in the off season here in Cold Spring, and with some other stuff going on. So it, you know, they looked fair. I'm not going to say they look great. They look fair. Of course, you're playing your own. Big test is going to be this week against Livingston, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But I'm going to play that interview with Coach Stanley and kind of go with that, and then behind that interview, we'll talk a little bit more as Coach Stanley was gracious enough to take a little time out of his day, getting wrapped up with that practice, and was willing to visit with me. So here is that interview with,
there's that engineer again.
Well, so we
got to figure out something about that engineer, I think.
I got it. It's right here. So here's that interview coming up here right now. It ain't playing.
Go over to LinkedIn, and I'm going to type in podcast engineer for the Southeast Texas area.
I played this earlier, and it played just fine, so I'll be able to edit that out.
It did. Here.
Could you hear it? It just deleted it.
Whenever we were talking earlier.
Yeah. Cover. I'll be able to edit all this. That's odd. Well, we ain't gonna have that interview.
Yeah.
So yeah. But nonetheless, I mean, I may be able to do it this way.
So Trent, what we got or what we saw, you know, last year we lost quite a bit of a lot of good athletes. That class last year was one that we were all excited about having. So this year,
your quarterback was one of them, correct?
Well, you know, we had David Rowe had moved in and kind of had taken over a little bit of that, and we had used Luke Monroe, which had been the quarterback for a while. So they had kind of did some rotation, and they tried to use Luke in some different stuff. And at the end of the day, we just didn't have the success that we wanted to have. So this year, you know, we're moving on, and basically I would probably say that we're more of the underdogs going through the district, and, you know, rightfully so with what we've done the last couple of years, and that's where we want to be, you know. So just take one week at a time and try to run the football and try to pass the ball, spread it out, get in an open space. And that's kind of what I saw out of the scrimmage.
Well, I mean, to go from – y'all were running a heavy ground game last year. Yep. And to go to a spread, all of a sudden switching districts and switching offensive schemes like that, I mean, that would put worry in my mind. I don't know about y'all's.
Well, if you go back and
– let me ask you this. Do they have a new – got a new offensive coordinator? Is that what's going on?
Overall, same coaching staff.
Yeah, it's been the same for a while.
We had a few guys that left. One went to Livingston. One took the head job at MacArthur High School there in Aldine. So we had a few coaches that kind of slipped around and moved out and had a couple new ones come in. But at the end of the day, if you'll remember about district play last year, maybe the game before district play, they did a quarterback swap. David Rowe went in at quarterback, and I'll say it, he struggled out of the double wing or the slot T, and it was a footwork issue in my mind with a lot of traffic and the lack of blocking that we had up front for Cold Spring. That made it difficult, and so with David was a sophomore last year, junior this year, going to be in. He looked more comfortable in the quarterback position in the gun in the watermelon scrimmage Saturday. I thought he looked a lot better than what I seen previous last year. I felt like in one of the things, we actually had some receivers spread wide, and it was a conversation that you and I, Toby, had off the air multiple times about when David did later in the season, when they did try to adopt the spread and would go into that spread formation, and then they had some of the guys that they had as wideouts, it just didn't make sense offensively, mm-hmm. right, to have those guys. And as a broadcaster and calling that, I'm questioning why, you know. And what I seen Saturday was he had the right personnel as spread out as wideouts, really spreading the field out, and David Rowe made some good decisions, and he doesn't have that one kid that he wants to throw to. It's not a one target offense. He's spreading that ball around, and yeah. He did all day Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, when you go back to obviously the era that Ken come in, so the seniors this year were seventh graders, so he's gotten to work with those guys from the seventh grade on, and now they're seniors, so he knows these players well and knows their abilities and this, that, and another. And what we've got is I think, you know, he did the double wing when he first come in, which is kind of a ground and pound and have a good O-line. And, you know,
very simple.
Yeah, we're going to get 3 yards a hit and all that. And to his benefit, he has changed. You know, he ran that, and then we started running the slot T and kind of mixtured that back and forth. And then now we're going to the spread, which they did try to throw it around a little bit last year. So I think at the end of the day, in this time of football, what we're playing in nowadays is you're wanting to get everybody in space, right? And at the quarterback position, obviously having a guy that can go. And then what I mean by that is as a defense, trying to stop a guy that's in the shotgun that can run on you and he can also pass on you, puts your defense in a bind.
Yep.
And so we've got to do a pretty good job of that. And I think that they will move things around, and I think you're going to see a lot of different looks probably early on as we move forward. But one thing that I was impressed with at the Watermelon Scrimmage is we have a senior backup quarterback. It's probably been the second or third quarterback back. But with that senior class was the quarterback coming up in junior high, and it was T.J. Johnson.
Yes.
And I was extremely impressed with his feet work. I thought that he's not afraid to turn it up and go. And I thought he threw the ball pretty well. So it's good to know that if something were to happen or the coaches decide they want to, you know, throw some different packages out there, that we do have that. But, and that was a definitely a good positive note that I saw.
It was a good note. And, you know, seeing some of the kids, it was interesting watching defensively what the Trojans were doing and moving some personnel around, seeing some people that we haven't seen there, making some plays. We got a couple kids that moved in last year and playing football for the first time this year that are good athletes and can really move. So it's going to be interesting to see defensively what they bring. I had a kid move in from Shepherd, so that's a plus, and he's a good athlete. He started for Shepherd. So Keyshawn, yes. And he's a French fry cooking son of a gun, too. He worked at the
ballpark. Yeah, we've had a few. Like, we've had him, which he was part of the class as well, going through junior high and then left, and then now he's coming back. And he made the move early enough last year during the spring that he didn't have to sit out. So we got him back, and then I just heard that we got another guy back from Klein that I believe is a senior, I think. He may be senior or junior.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen him. He wasn't at the Watermelon Scrimmage, but I do know of the kid in the past, and he's an extremely good linebacker. So I'm excited about seeing that. But you're right. We had a couple guys that haven't played football that are very athletic, and what I mean by that is 40 times and baseball and all the good stuff. So excited about seeing the development in that.
But there is one kid I want to bring up, and I'm close to him, but I want to bring him up because I want people to realize that we said it here first. That's right. A freshman that hasn't played football. He's played baseball. Great parents. He's got some size to him. He's 6'1", 6'2". What do you think?
Man, I'm bad at height.
I mean, he's right there. He's my height. I'm 6'1". He's my height. And he's over two bills. Wears a 15 shoe, and by the name of Lane Whitmire. And y'all just remember, y'all heard it on the 599 Sports Show. The kid,
he's getting behind him early.
Yes, I'm getting on the horse, and so I'm looking forward to watching him as he grows through high school and progresses and fundamentally progresses. The good thing about it is with him not have went through youth league and stuff, he's not a product of bad coaching, right? Because we all see that a lot of times. Kids go through youth league and then they get into high school and it's like, where did this kid come from?
Yeah,
you know, it's like he can't hit the swing, the way he throws, whatever it may be. It's like what the
we've
heck?
Seen that so much, and that's what's pretty neat is when you look at kids that are 7th and 8th grade and then they become freshmen, kids change so much. And,
yes.
And some just like overnight change, and it's so weird seeing it. Like one of the ones that I had saw was Tiger Parker's brother.
Yeah.
Last year I thought looked very, very good. Physical attributes perfect, you know, just wasn't quite engaged. But during the Watermelon Scrimmage, that was another one that I had keyed on that I was extremely impressed with. That I think he's got that college build. I think he's got the arm length and very athletic and came up and was not scared. So looking to see big things out of that position. And like I said, that just I think that this particular group here might be the group that surprises everybody. It's one of those groups that you're not really expecting probably a whole lot about, and they're going to kind of be the underdog probably week in and week out, and that's probably where I would rather be.
Right.
But this team may be the one that surprises you.
Maybe.
And so, I would just keep your eye out on that. And one other thing, Trent, that, you know, obviously we're going to throw it around, but we cannot forget about Tiger Parker. He's going to be a beast at the running back position, and you're going to have to stop him.
And that's so that's the thing with that RPO, right? Yep. You know, coming out with that, with Tiger Parker in the backfield,
yep.
You know. And then just in a hypothetical, if you put T.J. Johnson in there in the backfield as well, man, that's a dual-headed threat right there running yep. the ball. and passing. So it's going to be interesting to
and
see.
And I think that's this particular group. It's what they need to try to identify as coaches is where is my gamers? What? Not necessarily, you know, 40 times and where you're at. I mean, like Caden Barton, for example, he's that guy that, you know, maybe the University of Texas is not knocking on the door saying, hey, this guy's physical attributes are where we want to be, right? But that guy, no matter if we're playing golf, baseball, anything that we're doing athletic-wise, sports, he's a gamer. He's going to, if you put him at wide receiver, he may not run the best route, but he's going to figure out a way to get open, and he's going to get the ball. If you put him on the D-line, he's probably going to give it his all, especially his senior year, and he's going to try to get upfield and make plays. If you put him at linebacker, he's probably going to fill the gap. So, I mean, it's guys like that that you're looking for, and I think that if they can put these guys in the right positions, and then you're going to have those same guys that do have the physical attributes, that's not going to pass the test, and you're going to go 3 or 4 weeks, and people's going to say, why is this guy in the position? He's not doing anything, and they're like, yeah, but have you seen how much he lifts? And they're like, we don't care, you know.
Right.
It's we want somebody that's going to make plays, you know.
Right.
So this group, it's a special group, and it means a lot to me, this group, because my son's a senior on this group, and so I've seen this group grow up since elementary, and I've coached a lot of them in Little League football and watched them on and on, and but they're really, really good kids. They act right. You know, we said, you know, he had talked about that, I think, the other day, Coach Ken Stanley did, about their attitudes and the way, and they are going to, you're going to get a good group of kids that show up. And it's just going to be one of those things that, you know, can they motivate them? Can they love on those kids enough to motivate them kids to really play hard? And if they can, who knows what's going to happen? Kind of like Shepherd did last year. I mean, I thought.
Most definitely.
Yeah, they wasn't talked about. They were kind of under the radar. And look at them. I mean, they had a great, memorable year. And your hats are off to them. And so I can see this group being that way.
We're going to talk about the Shepherd Pirates. We're going to talk about a lot more when we come back here to the 599 Sports Show. We're going to take a break. Here in the studios, Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box is Trent Hart. We'll take a break here on the 599 Sports Show. We'll be back right after this.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
And welcome back to the 599 Sports Show, second segment here, as we're into scrimmage week, really, is where we're going to, Toby, Trent, and, you know, I texted you earlier on a week or two ago. We were talking about scrimmages. And
about all the different ones.
Yeah, it's like, where do you go, right? And I'm looking up, and this week, Anahuac has Liberty, right, coming up the 15th. That's an interesting scrimmage.
We play
for me.
Them, right? So, yeah, that's one of our games.
That's our first real game.
Yeah,
is
that's
against
a real
Liberty
game. So yeah, that's going to be an
actual preseason.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So looking at just staying in the 3A for right this second out of our district, and Anahuac, they're opening up this week against Liberty, and then with scrimmage Cold Spring and Livingston here in Cold Spring, and definitely a game. That's the 11th. We'll be there at that one. And then Crockett at Woodville. That's an interesting scrimmage for me. I like it. But the most interesting coming up on the 16th, Dieball and Jasper. And that's one that I would like to go see.
Yeah.
You know.
Especially when they run ones against ones.
Yes. And we know what. That district, let's back up. Let's go over there. I mean, let's talk about that. I know you want to talk about Anahuac a little bit more, and we got all night. But let's talk about that district. And you go back, and Toby, on your thoughts, Trent and I've laid ours out there already. But whenever you look at that district and you look at DC's their pre-district rankings, and they got Hampshire Finette winning that district.
Yeah, that's a good district. That's good football. That's a great week in and week out, you know.
No, it is. And you go back and you look at that district, and we talk about it. The district makes up Hampshire Finette, Jasper, Silsby, West Orange, Tarkington, and Shepherd, right? Is what the way that district shapes up. And our friends over here at Shepherd, they've been in this situation that they're in before. Just 4 years ago, they were in this situation, right? You remember that, Trent? They were in that district with Center and Rusk and Jasper whenever it was UIL had that district made up, and Shepherd was the smallest 4A school, Division II school in the state of Texas. They missed the cut by like six and got bumped up. Coach Robinson challenged, tried to move up to 4A Division I. They wouldn't let him, put him back down, made him stay there. And I had told Coach Robinson, I said, Coach, I said, the thing about your kids whenever they're playing, they're going and playing these state caliber teams, because at that time Center was pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Rusk was good. Obviously Jasper and Silsby.
Carthage.
Yeah, Carthage was in there. I said, whenever your kids, when that new alignment came out, which was 2 years ago, I said, those kids have played state caliber football teams day in and day out as they progress. It's going to help them when y'all come back down to the 3A level. And it did.
Mm-hmm.
2 years at 3A level, made second round runs in the playoffs. Last year made a great run into the playoffs for them, and, you know, and lost to a state championship football team, Franklin. And Trent and I was able to do that game, but Tarkington's not prepared for this.
It's going to be a tough road. It'll be a tough road. And Shepherd, the thing about Shepherd is if you go back and look at the last couple of years, they've had some really good athletes at that quarterback position that's really helped them a lot. Honestly.
Yes.
And so when I feel whatever your name is, I mean, obviously when your numbers go up, I mean, obviously you want to be the big man on campus playing the small school, but at the end of the day, it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes your numbers go up and you're going to be in there with the big ones and you're going to be the smaller one. So at the end of the day, you just kind of, you got to go with the flow, you know, and I think the years that they were in that 4A D2, they made the best of it that they could,
right?
You know? And when they dropped down, that was great. I don't see them dropping back down probably anymore, not with the growth that everything's happening. So
I think they're probably
going to stay there, and it may benefit them. I mean, Shepherd, I mean, everything is kind of coming that way on 59. There's not a really big developments, but if you were to get some big developments in there, it could be good, it could be bad. You know, I mean, you may get a lot of good athletic football kids out of it. You may not, you know.
Yeah, you never know.
So it kind of just depends on what you get from it. But most new schools that start up, that they cut the lines up, a lot of times you'll see that those schools do real well at first because everybody wants to go to the new one. And so they jump all board and they get on there with the new one.
We've seen that over in Katy, right?
Yep.
Several new high schools popped up and
they
had
good
for
a while and then they kind of filter out.
About 4 years, they do really good and then they filter down. Then Katy's back on, or they built another school and then that school. You know, they're in Katy ISD. Of course, they got their own district over there now.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I'm looking at Shepherd's schedule.
You talked about that. Well, Shepherd, you said you're talking about Shepherd and how Cleveland Tarkington is not ready for this district. And I want to say that Shepherd, it's going to take them some time too. Right. I mean, I don't know if that they're quite ready for this district either. I mean, the clear four, you know, like you said, they're picking Hampshire Finette to finish, you know, on top of that, Jasper, West Orange, Sark, Silsby. But I honestly think that, I mean, we got a good look at Shepherd last year. They've got some guys that are they're graduated. I'm interested to see how they handle it. I think they're going to handle it better than Tarkington does, but I still feel like they're not, I don't know if they're quite ready for it either. I know that they've been at this level before, right, Craig?
Right.
Well, what I'm saying, what we're trying to say is basically they've had the same coach, same program, and they're just changing classifications.
Right, yeah.
So it's not a new system. It's not a let me get on board with that type deal. I'm just, I guess I'm coming more from I felt Shepherd. And
they're more structured.
They were a little more structured, and I feel like they were a little better at that 3A level than what Tarkenton was. So when we compare the
absolutely.
Two, and we're saying that now to benefit Tarkenton, I think in basketball and baseball, I think they'll do very well.
Yes.
I think they won't skip a beat there. I think they do very well in those. Football, on the other hand, if you go back and look at the history of Tarkenton, they've had some decent years and they've had some not so decent years. So overall, you don't look at that program like it's this powerhouse like you do West Orange Dark, obviously,
right.
Jasper, Silsby, I mean, well, that kind of thing. So same thing with Shepherd. I mean, Shepherd's probably had a little more
success
especially right. in the last 10 years than Tarkenton. But that's all I'm saying. I just think that Miles Robinson and them have done a good job as a program, and I think they'll keep moving forward. Now, that I'm not saying that they're going to have five D1 guys come out of there, but and those guys make a big difference. I mean, for you people listening, that makes a massive amount of difference to have guys that can go.
And Shepherd's have one D1 football player in the last 8 years.
Right.
Right, Jonathan Marshall, starting now for the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
So, I mean, he's that special kid.
That's right. Right? He put him around your average high school football players.
Yeah.
And you have a pretty good team.
So, talking about Tarkenton, funny story is we were at church last weekend, and a preacher. I told you this one, I think.
Yeah, you don't.
And it's pretty funny. I hadn't told Trent, but they were talking about football, and preacher was and brought up Tarkenton football, talking about leaving it at the altar, and he said somebody better put down, you know, step up Tarkenton football, whatever. So the funny part about it was is he told a story. He said whenever I was in high school, because the pastor, he's from Tarkenton, Tim McGee, he said he popped off to one of the cheerleaders one time talking about that cheerleading wasn't a sport, and they said, "What do you mean it's not a sport?" And he turned around, and asked him, said, "Well, how many games have y'all won?" She said, "Just as many as the football team." And I just died.
Dang.
And so she cut him off, so he quit talking about cheerleaders after that. But you know, Coach Belt over there, you know, Toby knows Coach Belt way better than I do, and has a really, really good relationship with him. And you know, he's about being an athletic director and a football coach, and it's about preparing. We talk about wins and losses because that's what we talk about. But at the end of the day, it's about turning these young people into adults and getting them prepared for adulthood. And, you know, Coach Belt's going to do that over there. And, you know, there's more lessons learned in a locker room and conversation than there is out there on the field, you know. And, there's that stability there that these kids have with these coaches. So, you know, that 4A, that district there that Shepherd and Tarkenton's in, you know, I think Hardin-Jefferson, Bridge City.
What about that district that Splendor jumped into?
Man, why? So here's,
I mean, since they're right down the road,
they are. They're in our corridor, right? So, who's all in that district? Let's talk about that.
Well, it's P&G's in there.
Yeah,
Huntsville's in there. Those two are off the top.
Yeah, I'm fixing pull it up right here. That ain't it.
Is Livingston in that one?
No.
No.
No. No. No. I'm fixing pull it up. Here we go. That district is. I just had it pulled up here just a little bit ago. I don't know what I did with it.
I'm making my way to it.
They're 5A.
If my internet will cooperate, there we go.
Yeah, you're on 4A.
Yeah, I'm on 4A. I wasn't on 5A. So Splendor makes a big Dayton, jump.
Yeah, so it's Dayton, Huntsville, Montgomery, Lake Creek, Nederland, New Caney, Westport.
I forgot about Lake Creek.
P&G, and Splendora.
And look, go back and look at Lake Creek, what they did. Go back and look at Huntsville, what they did, and then P&G played in the big game. So all out of one district.
So,
and you get the invitation to go in there. And Huntsville is young. P&G was young. Lake Creek, I'm not positive what they were. They may have been kind of senior heavy. But I know athletic-wise, they're like, they drew them lines really good.
Here's the deal. You look at that district, just looking at it right there. I got it pulled up on the screen for you, Toby. You look at that district, Nederland, New Caney, West Fork, new high school over there. This first year they're playing varsity football. P&G, state champs. Montgomery, mediocre football,
yeah.
Right? Dayton, mediocre football. Lake Creek, not mediocre. Mm-hmm. Huntsville, not mediocre. So you look at this district, and on top of that, they got a new head coach over there.
Yep.
In Splendor. So come from the Golden Triangle area originally. That's where his footprint was, and kind of moved around and stuff. And I remember reading a quote how excited he was, you know, to get that job. And there's been a lot going on down there in Splendor, but how excited he was to get that job and with those kids. And Splendor is that 8-year team. And I've talked about this. About every 8 years, you have a good program, good group of kids that come through there. And you know, they're getting close to that 8-year mark. Coach Schultz left 3 years ago, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Now, 3 years now.
And what he means, clarify when you're saying 8 years. You're basically saying every 8 years you're going to have a team that may compete for a district championship.
Correct, yes.
Make the round or two max.
And if you go back and you look at the history, Trent, of Splendor, and I've done this, and for the sake of conversation, whenever you go back and you look at that, and it's been about 8 to 10 years that Splendor has those few kids that come through and the stars line up just right and they go play. Now, Splendor on the other aspect is a lot like Tarkington. You get more out of them basketball, baseball, softball. That's where they really shine on the athletic aspect of it. And Splendor's kind of missed that jump, that growth.
Yeah, but they got a lot of growth right now, and they're going to have a lot more growth. I mean, the next realignment.
Yeah,
yes. And I mean, a subdivision here and there come in could change. It's not going to be the same Splendor that you're going to have in the 80s, no. In the early 90s. I mean,
when Ricky was there coaching.
Yeah, that town even. Stayed the same for many, many years, right? I mean, that's going to change. Shepherd's not so much going to change as much. They jumped in some numbers. But it's interesting. But I just, when I bring up that district, the reason I say that is because I know Huntsville had a really good run. Lake Creek had a good run, and P&G had a good run. I mean, great. Huntsville's got their new stadium, so in that district, they're going to get to go down and travel to that stadium's nice. You're going to get to go to P&G, which everybody should get to see a game there.
Yes.
And so that's a fun district. I mean, it sounds pretty cool.
And so last week, Trent, you know, we talked about rival games last week on the podcast that never aired. But it will. But
yeah,
you remember us talking about those, and I talked about one of the big rival games that had a 50-year history was Battle of the Bell, Splendor and Tarkington. And, you know, Tarkington's moved up, Splendor's moved up a little bit. But, Toby, wouldn't you love to see that game come
back?
That
would be cool, yeah. That was a big deal.
Like, it was huge.
During my years, we at that time we were 4A. And we didn't drop till 3A till 99. But, you know, the latter part of 90s and early 90s, we stayed 4A. So we were always in there with Jasper and Silsby and Livingston and all that whole group. But Splendor and them would always have the big bonfire, and they would the bell would pass back and forth.
Yes.
And it was a neat rivalry.
Even not going to school at either one of those schools, that was one of them deals that you went to.
Yeah, it was a pretty neat deal. Like, that was the game that was going to be crowded wherever it was.
Yeah, most definitely. So,
I won't tell.
You look
I won't,
at that
yeah,
district, and I was looking at it just now. That I didn't know that Port Neches Groves was not picked to win that district in Texas High School Football Online. Here, as I'm looking at it, were you aware of that?
No, who do they got though? I'm curious.
Yeah, Montgomery Lake Creek.
They've got Huntsville. They've got Huntsville.
Man, I told you, Huntsville's.
They got Huntsville finishing first in that district.
Look, Huntsville's star running back is a Cold Springs guy. He's a Cold Springs guy. He's point blank, okay? Their starting strong safety is a Cold Springs guy. I mean, he was part of the senior class. Their running back was part of the senior class at Cold Springs guy. These are guys that moved off. I'm telling you, I watched Huntsville 2 or 3 times last year, and I knew they were young, and they're going
to
be good.
And you talked to Ricky a little bit. Ricky's going to be playing Huntsville here in a few weeks.
Yep.
And Bryan High School in Huntsville, at Huntsville, I believe. Am I correct?
Yeah, they get to go to Huntsville to the new stadium this year, and I got to ask him a little bit about, you know, obviously how young they were last year, and that's why I'm pretty big on them, because I know they're going to be pretty good. One of the things that they he said that's good about them is they do the same thing. So, you know what they're going to do.
Most definitely. You know what else is good? Bullet Grill House.
Yes, Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights coming up in 2 weeks. We're going to be at Bullet Grill. We're going to be doing the Bullet Grill House pregame show. Myself, Ken Luck, Brian Besh.
Middle of the week. Yes. Gives you something to kind of look forward to, rejuvenate. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool.
Did y'all see my invention I sent y'all?
The burger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Toby, I'd sent you something that looked really good. Yeah. And then I created – so I
the
put
one, – the, yeah, the one today.
Yes. Yeah. So, it was – they have a build your own. And I talked to Chris about it, and I think it ought to be the 599 Sports Show burger. Brisket, jalapeno jack cheese, jalapeno sausage, coleslaw, pickles, onions, and the bun just lightly braised with a little bit of barbecue sauce. I'm talking about there's so much flavor in that deal. But that's the cool thing about Bullet Grill. You can tell them what you want, and they'll put it together.
Yeah, put it all
together. I had to throw that in there real quick as we're fixing to take a break and hear a word from Randy's Rubs and Bullfrog Environmental and Porter's Processing. I'll throw that in there as soon as I get it from Trent Hart. I'm waiting on him to send me the audio for that. But nonetheless, here on the 599 Sports Show.
Working on it. Working on them a new commercial, most likely.
Well, you was going to do that this last week.
Trent, you just come on back. Tell me a little bit more about Anahuac. I want to know. I need to know a little more about Anahuac. Craig keeps stumping me and making me talk about these other districts.
Let's take a break and we'll come back.
I want to know about them.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about Anahuac here on the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this. Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com. Wow. Welcome back to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, Trent Hart, and like to thank our studio sponsors, Randy's Rubs. It don't suck, y'all. You can find them at randysrubs.com and Amazon. And then we got Porter's Processing, Swamp Box, down there in Anahuac, Texas. Trent Hart and Casey Porter and them got together, and Porter's Processing come on board to the 599 Sports Show. So we're growing, and we have other sponsor opportunities out there if you're interested to jump on the 599 Sports Show. You can email us at info@texaspodcastmedia.com, or you can find us on Facebook, 599 Sports. Shoot us a message there and I'll shoot the flyer over there to you, as we got a flyer. Trent graciously put a flyer together for us. Looks really good.
Looks really good. Yeah. Looks really good.
One thing about it, if Trent don't make it as a podcaster, he's going to make it as a graphic designer.
Yeah.
You know, in the rear
front. Now, I mean, the sun shines on a dog's butt every once in a while, right?
I'll get a Photoshop,
you know, edit pretty good. That's the one you're seeing behind Toby Tullis if you are watching the video, but with the new district realignment over here. And I think Toby wanted
I got
to
all
learn
the cool
a little bit more.
Helmets up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing, guys, when you're listening to this, as far as sponsorship stuff, you know, I mean, sponsorship obviously helps buy and get things done and makes everything better and all that good stuff. But one thing about this show is last year we kind of put it together, and you know, it was a trial and error deal, and we had a lot of fun with it. But I think it's one of those things that I'm telling you is going to grow as we move forward. And this year, one thing that I told Craig that he had kind of discussed with us is that we want to try to get some more live coaches on, some different things like that, just to kind of get a different aspects. And it gives us a chance to ask questions, and you can go on social media and you can post, hey, I see that y'all got, you know, so-and-so's coming on. And one of them was Cornell Thompson that we talked about trying to get on here. And he released a new book and some other things. And so it'd be neat to be able to visit with a guy that's been around the high school football and West Orange Starks program and just ask questions, things of that nature. I mean, there's a lot of questions that I want to ask and I want to talk to some of these coaches about that I enjoy getting to do. And to be able to do it on the air, I think is like really cool. And it's not just this 59 Sports. I mean, there's a lot of podcast stuff that's really popular in today's time. And nothing's better than driving down the road and listening to a bunch of guys talk sometimes, you know, and if you don't, then turn it and go back to the radio.
Yeah,
you but it's pretty cool. You can go back to it, and especially with, you know, Apple Music, Spotify. And then with Trent, you know, with Anahuac Sports Live, I mean, it does a great job. If you've ever watched any of the football games, I mean, you think you're watching ESPN. I mean, it's cool. It's got
the replay.
Yeah, it's got the replay, and it's got all the score stuff and the time and the quarters, and it's really, really neat. And I was like extremely impressed last year when I got a chance to see that.
We were at a Dairy Queen, weren't we? Or Texas Burger.
I mean, I told Craig, I was like, man, we should have left early and went to the game. He's like, Podge, I got you.
Yeah,
we're gonna put it on Anahuac Live. And I mean, I'm like, I don't even need to be at the game. I mean, I would rather sit right here. And then of course he's throwing sponsorship stuff up, and some of the stuff he had put on there I was needing done. And so I called one of his sponsors up, and you know, and it's just to put stuff out there, it's I'm telling you,
never
this know show,
who
yeah.
you're gonna reach.
Yep. And so I'm actually a marketing major. That was my major that I graduated college with. And so one thing about it is, the more that you can see something as a business and it goes in and they talk about it and you become, it's like the Bucky brand. I mean, that thing is just, my kids ask me all the time, like, how do you come up with something to where everybody like feel like it's like a must you stop? And I said, it's a marketing scheme. It's a great brand and they got behind it. And that's the thing about this here, you know, I mean, sponsorship stuff is available, and Craig does got some flowers and flyers to go out. And so if you have a business and you want to get behind us, we would greatly appreciate it. We would definitely, throw your name out there all the time, and you will get plenty of views. And that's our goal, is to get as many views as we can get, many people is listening to this thing, and help us move it forward and do it all together.
Most definitely. Something else. Go ahead, Trent.
If you go to one of these businesses that you hear, whether it's on the 599 Sports Show, or if you are watching Anahuac Sports Live, or whatever the case, on our social media page, you see one of these businesses that they're helping us out by sponsoring, be sure to tell them that, you know, you heard from them on 599 Sports or on Anahuac Sports Live. It goes a long way to let these sponsors know that it's working. You know, we know that advertising works. We've been doing this for years. We know how the reach works with advertising and stuff like that. So just be sure to mention that. And Porter's Processing, always a great supporter here down here in Anahuac of not only the athletics, but Anahuac Sports Live. So Gator season is gearing up. Go and visit them on Gators portersprocessing.com to book a gator hunt, or if you need any processing done on any animal at
you
all,
bet.
come
you bet.
The fall, check them out.
I'm looking over at Toby, and
I'm just smiling.
Like, I want to go on one of them gator
me too.
Hunts. Let's do it.
I'm calling when it's over with.
Yeah, well, I'm serious. I have something that I've always wanted to do, and I want to go, and I would rather spend my money with Porter's Processing going on a hunt, because it's an all-inclusive deal. You go, you kill,
get all get your meat gator, processed,
your
everything.
Meat processed,
yeah.
The whole nine yards. They handle it
a
all.
A one-stop
so,
shop.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely so, who you want
to
call.
I'm going to reach out to Casey Hodges and get in there and get a hunt. So I know your boys will want to go.
Oh, absolutely.
So we just,
that's right up our alley.
May book a weekend deal, and all of us go.
They're booking them. They're booking them now.
Yes.
So. Yep. So let's get into this deal about Anahuac.
Yeah.
So I got a few questions.
When we were at break, and Trent kind of sandbagged us a little bit, as he did last year, and he sandbagged us it and got us over onto the Cold Spring topic. And
yeah, all of you that, and some of you followed last year, but if you didn't, he sandbagged on us pretty hard. And
it wasn't
so
even
I
our district.
Me personally, and Craig as well, I had personally bad picks at the end of the year about which way the district was going to go. And my excuse, and I stand behind it, it's what I picked, but yeah, I blame it on Trent. But no, one of the things that I'm wondering about, though, is the quarterback position. One thing I was wondering is, they had a quarterback last year, obviously, and then you said that they moved him. How did that go over when the new guy comes back? The team, do they kind of, you know, when you make that move, I'm curious, was the team behind it like, oh, yeah, we're getting the old guy that was here before he left back? Or was it kind of like, that's not right, you know, he needs to earn it? I'm wondering how that came about.
Well, I mean, when Brady Barrier was here as a sophomore, it was interesting because the student body, I'm just talking about student body, not the team.
Right.
The team's separate issue. The student body absorbed him immediately. And as far as, you know, being a person that fell right into the fold. And the same translated onto the football field and then on the football team. So he was very well liked by the student body and by the football team, just saying that.
Right.
And then whenever the news came that he was leaving to Russ, there was a lot of sad people, not only about his athletic ability, but as a person. This kid makes great grades. He is no nonsense as far as, you know, he stays, you know, out of trouble. There's none of that mess going on. Just a good overall kid. Now, fast forwarding to next year and Logan Trotter coming in from Hardin-Jefferson and being the quarterback for the Panthers last year, same thing happened. And it's a big credit to the coaching staff, the teachers, and just the overall atmosphere to absorb kids coming in like that and making them feel part of a family, part of a town, and part of a friendship. And you go back to coming in this year, and the word whenever they're saying, well, Brady's coming back this year, the attitude was like, great. You know, just and again, not just because of athletic ability, because of likability and how well he fit in here. And even what I heard from people that Logan Trotter, the quarterback from last year, he was all for it too. He wasn't concerned about necessarily losing his quarterback spot. He would prefer to play the wide receiver position anyway. So that was a surprise.
Okay. So they kind of moved him like, hey, we need you to fill in this spot. And he become kind of, quarterback,
yeah,
correct?
I mean, but Logan, I mean, he's a D1 commit pitcher,
right?
And so he played quarterback at Hardin-Jefferson, played quarterback obviously at Anahuac last year. But from what I've heard, and you know, I don't know this for a fact. I haven't talked to him or his dad, Ed Trotter, that's one of the coaches here. But the word was that I'd much rather be working the outside and anyway.
I got
not
you.
Have I, that.
The
that
reason I ask
flip.
is, and I'm going to ask the question. I mean, between the two quarterbacks, is one of them run the ball better? Is one of them going to give you a better run game than the other one? Is one a pocket pass? Are they both pocket passers? Or what are we looking at? Well, I mean,
Brady is definitely a pocket passer. He's not afraid to run, mm-hmm. but he's the type of quarterback that picks defenses apart. He is a film junkie.
Okay.
Like every time I walk
he's
into
a true quarterback.
Every time that I walked into the field house when he was here as a sophomore, he was in that film room.
I got
every
you.
Single time. And you know, Logan Trotter is more of a pocket passer, but he was more of a run and gun.
I got you.
Than as opposed to just taking defenses apart. So but the overall atmosphere in Anahuac right now, you know, with him coming back, it, like I mentioned earlier, is high. The expectations are high, and just the overall feel from everybody that I've talked to so far is there's excitement. We've got a great senior class. I was going to mention it earlier. It seems like there's a lot of parallels. You talked about the senior class over there in Cold Spring and how you've been able to watch them grow up through the years. The same thing on my end. My son's a senior this year. I've coached a lot of these kids in baseball, and I've watched them grow up as well. It's going to be, for Anahuac, this is, in my opinion, since I've been here, and I've only been here since my wife and I have been married, but it's the most talented athletic group that I've seen this boy, on both boys and the girls' side. And there are some seniors this year.
Well, we know that
Coates
the girls
also.
Yeah, I got you.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying I guess what I'm trying to ask is, or when we go back to this quarterback position, is most of the time I was just curious how did they just pull that trigger on that? Because what ends up happening is if you got a guy that's there and he's got half the team that's behind him, right? They're good buddies, just to say that. And then you got the new guy that's coming in, which he'd already kind of been here. But if you get the new guy coming in, it's the giving those positions to those guys. You know what I mean? And how you can lose your team by doing that, right? So that's why I asked, how was the mood there and where was it at? But from what it sounds like is this guy's obviously a true passer. He'll shred a defense apart, junkie in the you know, being able to watch film and this, that, and other. And kind of quick topic, you know, obviously my brother's a football coach and we're close and I've watched a lot of his career and stuff. And he had, at one of his stops he had made, he had a kid move in. And the kid that was going to start had been at the backup role for 2 years and was finally a senior, okay? And so the whole town was ready for this guy to become the quarterback, right? But this guy's moving in, and legally moving in. I mean, like, residence changed, dad got a job, that type deal. And sure. But this kid, we knew at that point, was going to already be a D1 quarterback. And so how do you not lose your team when you got a new guy coming in? Which, in your mind, you know, obviously you're going to, you know, you want to let them play it out. And that's what ended up happening. They ended up waiting like 3 weeks to make the move, right? And it was a tough 3 weeks to wait, because every time one did good, and you see what I'm saying? You're in a tough position. And that was one thing that crossed my mind about Anahuac when I heard he'd move back. I said, I wonder how that transition is going to happen. And so you kind of answered my question.
Well, people love a quarterback controversy, right? We talk about quarterback controversies in the NFL when for watching NFL or even college football. It's just part of that drama.
It's like the University of Texas right now.
This quarterback does this or this quarterback does that. I think it helped in this instance with Anahuac. I think it helped more that he was here as a sophomore and
right.
played that season.
Not just a new, so not just coming knew. In, yeah.
Right.
I can understand
and that. That more than anything helped. And I think the attitude of Logan Trotter, you know, being willing, being like, hey, you know, I'm here. I'm willing to, I want to go to the outside anyway. It's not going to hurt my feelings. Or at least that's the perception that I got from talking to people.
Right.
Who knows what somebody, because the competitiveness in me internally would have been thinking, dang, I'm losing my spot.
Right. I mean, obviously, I mean, that's the nature of it. Correct. I mean, every kid, I mean, a coach can come on, you know, come on, Craig, you know, keep your head up. You know, we're going to need you in the fourth quarter at the end of the game, district championship on the line. I mean, obviously you want to be that guy, but at the end of the day, you're going to practice every day. You're working so that you can play. Correct.
Right. I think that with him being of that nature and wanting to, you know, I don't think it was approached as like, I'm losing my spot now. I'm going to help the team in a different way.
Right. And that's the way I would have probably put it to him. I would have said, look,
right.
we're going to be successful with you here as well, obviously, but we could be really good if we put you in this position. You know what I mean? Considering that we have now another option, right? And that's kind of like Cold Springs that I had brought up about the TJ Johnson thing. I mean, if we get into these, and I don't know what's going to happen, obviously. I don't know what the O-line's going to do. I don't know any of that. But one thing that I want to see, or what I would like to see, is I want to see changes if it needs to be made and not wait too long on changes. You know what I mean? If you got a defensive guy, once again, that has great 40 times and athletic can be, but it's just not coming up and hitting, not getting there. When need to be, and you're losing 5 yards, making that move, finding the right guys for the right positions, finding those gamers that we talked about, you know. And I feel like that's probably what Anahuac's got, lots of choices. And that's kind of the way I felt about last year. I thought that the senior class last year with the senior class this year, I thought was all along was a really good group. Those guys had been playing varsity for a while, and I felt like they had a lot of good athletes. And at the end of the day, it didn't work out, you know. What the X's and O's that we drew up and the style of football that was being ran, just it didn't work out. And so it's going to go down in history as that, you know. So that's why I'm just curious of how Anahuac is, because I know that they're at the top of our district. And that's everybody week in and week out is going to be gunning for Anahuac, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's great. I just was curious, me personally, of where they were on the quarterback position. And so they're going to be – 5 wide, and they're going to sling it. You know what I mean? Kind of like East Chambers did. Wasn't it East Chambers last year that did that against us? Was it East Chambers?
No,
it was Hampshire Finette. Yeah, Hampshire Finette, I thought, threw the ball around very, very well.
Yes, very disciplined, very poised.
We haven't talked about East Chambers, but, I mean, even like you said, you know, Anahuac picked to win the district from Dave Campbell's, and there's nothing more than I would like to see an Anahuac team take sole possession of a district championship, because it's not happened in so long of a time. But East Chambers is always a thorn in everybody's side in this district, and I'm sure that, you know, as Cold Spring guys, y'all are definitely looking not only at that Anahuac game but that East Chambers game. You have to.
I can remember 3 years ago East Chambers down there CE King Stadium, the new stadium, us losing to East Chambers in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah,
3 years ago.
That's true. So we Cold Springs, I think we're 1 week at a time. Right.
Yes.
We're looking at the Livingston Lions and getting ready for them, and then we'll 1 week at a time and take each opponent.
So
at that point,
I got an interesting topic that we're going to bring up next. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk about this, and it really plays into that 1 week at a time. So you're listening to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.
Welcome back to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Got Trent Hart down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box in Anahuac, Texas, all powered by Zoom. Not sponsored by them. I paid the high dollar amount for Zoom.
High dollar fee.
Yes. But
as a freebie. As a freebie.
Yeah. I'm hoping maybe they'll listen and think, hey, guys, look, we're going to help you out. So, but at least give me a discount. But anyway, powered by Zoom. For Texas Podcast Media, TexasPodcastMedia.com. Go find us over there. Find us on Apple, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcast station is. Tune In Radio, you find us there. So, want to remind everybody about Bullet Grill House. Starting in 2 weeks, we'll be at Bullet Grill. A couple weeks. When we go into regular play, right, we got 2 weeks worth of scrimmages. So behind that, then every Wednesday night, I'll be at Bullet Grill with Brian Besh. Toby's going to come hang out. And
I'm going to be there eating,
enjoying some of the food. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun up there at Bullet Grill. Trent's been there once. I need to get him back up there. But trying to turn the page, and UIL has made a lot of measures, have created a lot of measures, right, for the safety of kids. And implemented rules and such, practice times as far as with the concussion protocols, right? And, okay, we're going to limit the amount of contact that we're going to have during practice, so on and so forth. And Toby, you sent me something yesterday, and I had already seen it and kind of looked over it. But
one thing that got brought up is you know, the heat in general,
right?
You know, I work outside, and one of the things that we battle with is, hey, let's leave earlier in the morning, right? And,
right.
So we try to leave earlier and get back in, just because the heat is so hot at times. And so, I was talking to Craig about practice times and schedules, and how some of the teams, you know, you ask around, you know, when do y'all practice, and this and another, and some of the teams will practice at 6 o'clock in the morning,
right?
And so, anyways, one of the things got brought up was what Craig is kind of wanting to discuss here.
It's WBGT, and it's not like LBGTQ, whatever that is. This is all weather related, right?
And it's a rainbow chart.
It is a rainbow.
UIL.
Yeah. So it's called wet bulb global temperature, and something that, and I've read a little bit about this, but to allude to what Toby's talking about. So they have this chart out to clarify, right, temperatures and what you can do. And I've always made a joke with high school baseball. It's colder during high school baseball than it is during football in Southeast Texas, just with the way everything goes. So temperature wise from 79 to 82 degrees, basically normal activities, practice as you want to, right? From 79.
This is wet bulb.
That's
not
right.
Necessarily based on like heat index, as like you would normally call it, or it's
right.
It takes multiple things, not just the temperature of the air, but the humidity, direct sunlight, whether it's a cloudy day or not, things of that nature. It's taking all those things into account, and then that's what they base this chart on, are these the degrees, you know, these classifications. And just to give you a little background here on, you know, what that's based on. It's not necessarily true temperature outside.
Correct. Ahead, yeah. So it's a reading. And Toby, I think you said that has a monitor.
Yeah. So they have, and he's at Bryan, but the last 3 years now, they have, they've done the 6 o'clock in the morning practice, and they start school at 7:45 or 8:30 right. or something like that. And so when school lets out at 4 o'clock, they're going home. Right. And so kids are going home and they're going about their way. And I just kind of find it odd because, I mean, I grew up where, you know, during the summertime, it was 2 a days. You know, you would show up at early in the morning, you'd go much, and then you'd go home and take you a nap and kind of rest up, and then you'd come back and do it again. And then you'd run and run and run until you just, you know, you're finally in shape. And now, I mean, as much as you want these kids to be in shape and push them a little harder, it's just the safety concern with the heat stuff. And so one of the things that I found out, and it's going to be, you know, obviously different for everybody, is, you know, next year there's a possibility it may be mandated that when this chart goes into effect, which during August and probably all the way to the end of September, you know, unless you have a indoor practice facility or something of that nature, you're going to be practicing early in the morning. Because if you'll look at a lot of this stuff, I mean, it takes 10 o'clock. At night, and then all of a sudden, oh, now you can go practice, right?
Right.
Because these numbers, the way they line up. And so it's a lot of factors come into it. You know, I mean, one of the things I was talking to Craig about is if you don't have turf field and you're out there practicing at 6 a.m. with the dew on the ground, you're going to mess a lot of footballs up, right?
Right. And that's so what we had talked about.
There's a lot of changes that you're going to see that this right here could affect. I mean, it could be a big deal.
And with that being said, Trent, Inowak has turf, right? So right. Y'all just got that, what, 3 years ago, I believe it was? But Cold Spring...
It's been about 4 years, 4 or 5 years, actually.
Cold Spring doesn't have turf. It was in the talks, but, you know...
We're behind times here, and we're still old school.
Yeah, we're still real old. Shepherd's the same way, right?
And everybody asks us, they're like, what? You don't have turf? I'm like, well, you know, we talked about it.
It has been talked about, and it was talked about possibly that this year that we were going to get turf. There's some budgeting stuff going on that they're juggling.
Well, I think at the end of the day, and you're right, it's getting, if you're trying to pass a bond, obviously that's tough to do. But if not, you're trying to budget, right?
Right.
But at the end of the day, turf is the way to go.
But talk about heat on the turf. I don't know if y'all, if you ever been turf field when it's 100 degrees out.
Yeah, it's about 140 on the turf.
Yep.
Yeah, because most of the time that infill, that the little pellets that they put in turf to weigh it down, it's black. It's basically tire shavings, right?
Yeah, but the point we're making on this, though, Trent, is moving the practices to the morning at 6:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Hot. Right.
It's not as hot.
Yeah, it's not near as bad.
You're coming in from the night, so the turf is not going to be that factor.
But the point we're making on not having turf is you're ruining gear, right? Your footballs.
Sure. Well, let's just think about this. I mean, you're taking a kid that now's got to get up at 5:30, maybe even earlier than that. If he lives in Point Blank and he's having to drive in, he's 20-something minutes away, 20 minutes away, right?
Yep.
So he's having to drive in. So he's up at 5, and he gets to the school at 5:30, and he's on the football field ready to practice at 6, right? Mm-hmm. And they got to have – I mean, you got to be on it because you've only got so much time, and then you're going to school, right? And you don't get another shot at it, you know. So this wet bulb that we're talking about here is just – if you think about it, I mean, you kind of, we're never going to do that. But if it becomes a rule, like a UI rule to do it, I mean, it's going to be a big change. It's going to be a big change to the kids.
They have to document it.
I mean,
schools will have to document.
Some people say, well, what if they don't do it? And I told Craig, I said, well, the minute that parent's kid don't get no playing time, then you're going to get turned in. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then it's not going to be good. So that's not going to happen.
Unless they're listening to the podcast and know about it. They're probably not going to know about it because, Toby, you know, and I know Trent knows, parents know all the rules but never open up a rule book. How many parents do you think actually go to that UIL website?
Probably not
many. Less than 5%.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be that one. Cold Spring would have that one parent. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they would.
I know we would. We would have that one parent. It was like, oh crud, here we go. So, but
no, it's just, and that's why I'm kind of real big on Craig getting some of the coaches, the coaches around here on the show, so we can just talk and so people can hear. But I mean, just like Ken, probably when he started to where coaching is now, it's changed so much. You know what right. I mean, from the way the kids, you know, the video games and all the futuristic stuff that you have now, and the kids up and quit, you know, a lot faster, and just, it's just different. And so every year that you throw stuff like that in here, these older guys are probably like, I got to get out of this. I mean, yeah. This is
Coach Vanover over in Livingston.
Yeah.
Right. He's been doing it for like 112 years. You know, and I love Coach Vanover. He's a great interview. He's a shoot it to you straight, you know, just really good guy. And but he's that one that in our general area, yep. right, that has seen so much of a change, mm-hmm. you know, over the years with high school football and the way that the UIL has changed and dictated and so on and so forth. He has been one that has seen all of that, and it's going to be interesting at Bullet Grill to talk to him, and I could probably get him on our show.
Yep.
But
not only that, I mean, look at the school stuff. I mean, with the school vouchers.
Yes.
You know, that's another big change. I mean, these districts, I mean, they're already struggling on funding, and then with, you know, Abbott changing the, you know, all that stuff, I mean, it's going to really hurt. I mean, when you take that kind of money and it goes out the door and you're trying to shortfalls and athletic budgets and you're having to do this wet bulb thing and you're trying to, I mean, it's a tough deal.
And then and then on top of that, then you throw the positives that UIL throws in there with the video technology and stuff that's available to use. You got a school mm-hmm. like Cold Spring that can't.
Yeah. How can't do you buy that stuff? Yeah. Right. I mean, somebody's left out and, then they're worried about test scores being low, and
yeah,
but you're not paying, so you're not giving us the funding, but yet you want this. I mean, it's tough.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and that's why we bring up stuff like this, just to kind of everybody knowledgeable. You know, when next year rolls around and that stuff gets laid out, I mean, you'll have an idea.
Talk about another.
A lot of schools.
Go ahead, Trent.
A lot of schools are already, and a lot of teams are already putting these things in place, right? In preparation, they've already got the cool down areas, tents set up, misters going down on the field. They got plenty of hydration stations going on. A lot of that stuff is already being put in place this year and even before this year in preparation for the UIL to possibly put, you know, this is mandatory for next year. And I mean, I can appreciate the conscious effort to protect these athletes, and not only the athletes, the coaches. I mean, they're out there working hard too.
You have to, and that's just change. It's change. There's nothing wrong with that.
But at the same time, you said it earlier, Toby. I mean, back in our day when we were playing football, we got up in the morning, went for the first part of 2 days, and practiced for an hour or two, and then came back later and practiced for an hour or two in the dead heat of the day, in 100-degree heat. And yeah, it was hot. Yeah, we're sweating our butts off. A lot of people were throwing up on the field and after running or whatever the case may be. But in the back of my head, while I appreciate the things that they're putting in place, I've got to say it. I mean, are we living in kind of a softer generation because the times have changed?
Most definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
Most definitely.
I mean,
I see it.
Craig, he thinks that we're not. Craig disagrees. He's ever absolutely, and he's the main one, like,
look,
coming up with these rules and stuff. I'm like, come on.
Look, I'm going to say this. And in the industry that I work in, 9 to 5, right, is the society that we live in. And I deal with safety and everything at work. So, and it's globally, right? What the changes and stuff and the hydration and so on and so forth, and it's needed. But it is, and it's kids can't handle these kids, and I say kids 35 and under is kind of the range that where I really notice it is they can't handle one pressure, right? Because they've never had to deal with it. They've always had somebody handle it for them. And it's not all. Let me clarify. It's not all, but it's a vast majority of them. Can't handle the pressure, right? I can't handle the heat, like being outside working, because they've never had to be outside. My 4-year-old spends more time outside playing as a 4-year-old whether it's roping his little roping dummy or riding a scooter, whatever it may be, playing baseball in the yard, he spends more time outside than what most kids do. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, when she's here, she spends a lot of time outside. But that's the way I was raised. It was when the sun come up and you got up and you had breakfast, you get your rear end outside and you go play. You know, you come. The rule was you had to be back home and in the house before the street lights come on. Now, that ain't 4 hours before the street lights. It was within 4 minutes of the street lights coming on. But these kids today, parents, and you have to on the safety aspect because there's some weirdos out there. You got to be a little bit more cognizant of what your kids are doing and where they're going. But I find it in the workplace, I see it, that we have created a very weak generation and to handle the heat. And this just goes even more to it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you got a kid. I mean, they're out there running, and if one kid's, oh, man, so, you know, obviously – if something's wrong, obviously they won't do it. But I'm not going to just say my head hurts or something. And I mean, what are you going to do? So if you get a bunch of them doing that, then obviously you're not going to be in shape. So it's a tough battle, I imagine. I mean, it's something I don't want to do. You know, I'd rather stand over here and just critique.
Yeah.
You know, and then
just
have
coach.
To try to coach those kids. But anyways, it's we bring that the climate deal up just because
it's something
that's
new.
Real. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, something that's real that's coming. And it's like, wow, you know.
And so that, you know, all the major news networks, they're bringing this up. And, you know, I like I said, I'd seen it this week and thought about it and everything. And Toby sent it to me yesterday and I sent it to Trent today or talked to Trent earlier. And I was telling him about it. So it's definitely something that's going to be another curve, you know, and then, you know, how impactful it is for these rural small communities. And with that, you got kids that struggle to get to practice at 4:30 in the afternoon during the regular summer workouts, right? Well, now you're throwing in, okay, you got to be here at 5:30 in the morning. And you got parents that a single parent dwelling where they may have a brother that's a freshman and then have one that's in elementary school, right? Or middle school. So you got to juggle being able to get them to practice. It's going to be very hard. And I feel like that with that, you're going to lose some, you could possibly lose some participation, you know, with some kids, not being able to get there, you know? So it's going to be interesting.
So is there a way that we can get Trent to kind of tell us what he thinks the district's going to go like? I don't mean official.
Nothing official?
Nothing official, but I'm just curious of that second and third spot where he's kind of thinking. He's obviously Anahuac, we've done said it, that they're probably going to be at the top. Everybody's
right.
Gunning for them, right?
That's everything I've gotten out of him today.
Yeah, he's convinced me that much. But right. I'm curious, Trent, the second and third.
Just in the blind.
In our district.
Just
and we're talking in the Cold Springs district.
Yeah,
unofficial. Yeah, we won't hold you to it.
We're not unofficial,
even though we got district picks coming soon.
They're coming soon, but we haven't even seen the scrimmage yet. So
yeah,
going to catch a bunch of scrimmages and we'll be at a little more. But right now we're just shooting from the hip. You know, we only know y'all as first round of the playoffs and, you know, we don't know a whole lot.
Well,
so we're wondering.
And almost losing to Tarkington last year.
Yeah. Y'all did almost lose to Tarkington, by the way.
With everything that I, you know or lack thereof, because I haven't watched near as much of them as I want to. I will get a really good look at them this Thursday against Liberty. I'm anxious to see what kind of changes they're making. I think the biggest concern for me for the Anahuac Panthers is up front in the trenches on both sides of the football. We'll find that out. But as far as the district is concerned, I've got to go. I didn't last year. If y'all remember correctly, I was building up the Buna game last year. How could we ever forget about the disappointment that was Buna and the hype that was surrounding that going into last season? But this season, I've got to go with Anahuac. How I see the rest of that district shaping up, I still feel like Kirbyville's a dark horse. I don't think that anybody's really talking about them. The Texas high school football
didn't talk
about them.
Whoa,
let me
whoa.
Stop you right
Craig
there.
Craig needs to talk.
I have something to say.
You say
so,
it.
So you're saying Anahuac 1, Kirbyville being a dark horse.
I'm not saying
horse.
Kirbyville 2.
No. Hear me out. So you're saying Anahuac 1, Kirbyville being a dark horse, and we know you're still riding high on East Chambers and Orangefield.
That tells me everything I need to know.
I don't know about Orangefield though,
because of the coaching change and the offensive scheme change. I mean, we've seen Orangefield running a slot T for years. I think that's something I'm gonna have to really pay attention to Orangefield to get on board with that train. But I feel like East Chambers is gonna be number two in the district, and the next two after that is going to be up to the Orangefield, Cold Spring, Kirbyville, but I still feel like Kirbyville is a dark horse.
Toby, do you agree with the direction I went?
No, I see what he's going. Yeah, I see the direction you're going with.
So let me ask y'all this.
That's what makes it interesting.
Before we close it out, and I sent it out to y'all yesterday, who in y'all's mind is going to be the biggest bust in high school football this year, from 20
as a whole,
that had a great 2023 and 2024, they're just going to completely regress. Do y'all want me to go first?
Go ahead.
And I'm staying very relevant to the area. I'm going to say Willis.
It's a good pick.
It's good of a season with Lagway that they had last year. Now they got a couple cats this year, but you don't just reload in small Willis, right? No. Hear me out. In Willis, Texas, you don't just have that special kid just move in, right? No. And that's why I think Willis is going to be the bust that from 2023 to 2024, in my opinion.
I can get on board with that, but
this ain't follow the leader.
I'd have to do some thinking.
I've got to do some more thinking. He sent that out, and I've had very little time to think on that.
We had a conversation on the phone.
Well, you're right, and it was not about the bust. It was about
the other side of the question is. Who do you think was the bust in 2023 that's going to really excel in 24? And I haven't narrowed that answer down. Trent just said West Orange Stark.
I think West Orange Stark was kind of a disappointment last year, and I think that they're going to bounce back this year.
Okay. Do you think Silsby is going to be a bust with what they lost last year?
Think they squeak in the playoffs. I don't think that they finish in the top three.
Okay.
But I think they squeak
in.
That's probably the best thing.
Yeah, Silsby definitely crossed my mind on that.
Yeah. I mean, because the expectations of Silsby, right?
Yeah. Silsby's always pretty high. Yeah, it's one of those school history wise,
right?
They've been really good over the last couple of years, you know. Schools like that, you usually make, and when they take four teams, you're thinking, go there, you're going to make the playoffs, right?
I'm going to stay big from 2023 to 2024. Most success, and it's not, and I'm taking this success is not necessarily winning a state title, right?
No, just
it's
having just a good run like they around. Did. Yeah,
I'm going to go with New Caney.
As a big bust.
No. Willis is my bust.
Yeah, Willis is his bust.
Oh, you're talking about bounce back.
I don't think the Willis one's hard to figure out. No. I mean, obviously, Lagway carried, and don't get me wrong, they had a lot of good players around him, but Willis traditionally has not been that place that's, you know, we're talking about on a regular on football.
No.
But yes, Lagway was phenomenal. He was once in a generation type guy to come through there probably, and he put them on their back and did some pretty magnificent things that I saw. So not having him, I could see where Craig's thinking that.
Yeah. And that's why I went there.
You're thinking the New Caney Eagles.
Yes.
Is the one that did not do very well last year, but is going to have a great season this year.
They were like 6-4 last year, missed the playoffs. I think they're going to turn around and have a lot better season this year.
I'm holding mine because I don't want to sound foolish. I've got to do a little more research.
I'm about to get a lot of haterade, and the only reason I'm about to get a lot of haterade is because of what I know personally. And for my biggest bounce back, I've got to stay home again. And the reason I say that is because of what Anahuac went through last year and the huge expectations that everybody was expecting them to come out of that district, go into the playoffs again. Well, they missed the playoffs. They had, you know, the things that happened to them that were, you know, we all know about it.
Right.
But in my mind, this is the year for them. Either they're going to do well and better than they ever have, which I've predicted.
What is that? No, out of curiosity. Like, what is a good year? What's a good year?
Game. They haven't won an area game, I think, since 98.
Okay.
So let's.
And they haven't advanced since then.
So let's break that down, right? So you look at the bye district, right? And you're looking at a die ball, something like that, right? In the bye district round. 1-4, so a die ball or Crockett. Yeah. Really a Crockett or.
Probably a Crockett.
Westwood or, you know what I mean? Something like that.
We scrimmage Crockett, by the way, so we'll give you a run now.
So that's in the bye district. So you get, just in a hypothetical, you get past Crockett in the bye district round of the playoffs. So then you go to the area round, right? So
you may be looking, and this is the key in that scenario. You're looking at maybe a Columbus or a Hitchcock, possibly. Depending on how the brackets fall,
right. So,
and that's a tall order because a lot of people are picking Columbus to do it all this year, and we know about Hitchcock,
right? So, I mean, I just wanted to bring that as I'm looking. They got Columbus sitting at 2, Franklin at 3, right? And then
where's Belleville at?
This is 3A.
Okay, you're on 3A.
I'm on 3A right now, so. That's kind of what you're looking at, right, is in Hitchcock in 4. So you're talking about getting to the area around, and as the standings sit right now, 2, 3, and 4.
Are in your area around.
Of the playoffs. And that's big.
I mean, it could fall to where it could be Franklin. And like I said, it depends on where they end up on the bracket, on the playoff bracket.
Right.
But if, say, Anahuac sees Little River Academy in the area round instead, then that's a real possibility. Right.
Yeah.
I've seen Franklin. We know about Franklin, right, and what they're capable of. But Franklin, Hitchcock, Columbus, all three of those, if you're seeing them in the area round, it's a tall order for any team. And no. But I still feel like that Anahuac is going to be able to compete. I'm not saying they're going to outright win those teams, but I feel like they're going to be able to compete, and it could go their direction. And I'm trying to be as unbiased as I can. And like I said, I was going to receive a lot of haterade probably from other people that are listening, but because I'm all Anahuac this year, or, you know, have been for the last few years. No, that's not the case. I'm just picking this year, just knowing what the athleticism is and that this is do or die as far as that athleticism is concerned for Anahuac.
Well, and I'm gonna piggyback with you a little bit, and I think for the biggest bounce back for the season that y'all had last year, right, missing the playoffs, almost losing to Tarkington, and that is a big feat to go two rounds deep. I feel like that's a big feat.
That's a great pick. It's a great pick.
And it's not about who's right and who's wrong, but it's like, why do you pick those? You know what I mean? And there's a reason behind that in your mind. And that's what I'm more curious is, because now we're getting in a little bit deeper in Texas high school football and your reasoning why and what you're seeing, not just the, well, we had a bad year last year, now we got a new quarterback in, but now how you truly feel, right, and why you feel that they're going to make that big bounce after you had already picked them to win the district, and then you come back and come up, follow up with this, and it's all good points. It really is.
And you know, he knows them very well. I mean, he
he's very thing about Trent. Trent's very close to that program. Yeah. He's closer to that Anahuac program than what I am with the Cold Spring program, and a lot of that has to do with me because I haven't allowed myself the time that I have in the past. But Trent's very in tune with that athletic program.
Well, that's what's cool about this show is we get that aspect as well.
Right.
You know, so when we went into their district, I mean, it's like, man, this is going to be some great shows. Right?
I had somebody ask me at the watermelon deal. They said, man, how's that going to work with y'all's podcast with Trent, you know, being down there in Anahuac? I said, it's going to make the show great. Even better. You know,
exactly.
We're going to have to dedicate one segment just to our district, you know, to be able to roll. And we've done more than that tonight, but you know,
a lot more.
At the end of the day, it's all good content throwing out. People have a better understanding, you know, about the Cold Spring program, too, about Anahuac and how we feel and we see things and what we're anticipating looking at. I'm looking forward to this week, Livingston coming to Cold Spring, watching that scrimmage, really looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to battle test Cold Spring, the trenches, which has been a concern of mine.
Yeah, I don't like that scrimmage. I didn't last year they were just so big. I didn't like it.
And they were.
I don't like it this year.
And I think spreading it out the way Cold Spring had showed Saturday, I think it's going to give.
Yeah, it's going to go one or two different ways. Right. Either the O-line's going to feel defeated.
Yes.
Or they're going to feel good about what they've done.
Right.
You know, one or the other. And
so
we don't need any injuries. We don't, you know.
That's the big thing. And behind that, you know, when we look at the scheduling and stuff, we got Livingston this week, and then following behind them,
Crockett.
We have Crockett in a scrimmage on the 18th. So that's going to be.
That'll be a good one.
That'll be a good one.
That will allow your kids to get that. What you're trying to do, you should be able to execute and do.
Right. So Toby and I got some scheduling we got to figure out.
But, yeah, I definitely want to get around. I want to see Anahuac before we play them. Obviously, I'd like to one of these preseasons or scrimmages. Maybe if we don't line up, we can go check it out.
Catch them out.
Big game at Woodville, September 15th. That is on a Thursday. That's one that y'all might be able to pick them up to.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah,
for sure.
That would be a fun one. Get up there and see Jordan with SETX.com.
Is it at Woodville?
At Woodville, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So, nice little drive over for us from the house to go to Woodville on a Thursday night, go watch a game, then Friday night, the Cold Spring game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we're always looking to find football games anywhere. But that's going to be a wrap this week on the 599 Sports Show. Toby?
It was good to be back, guys.
Glad to have you back in the hot box.
Yeah. Glad y'all kept my seat down.
Yeah. Case was working on that seat.
Yeah, he kept it down.
He didn't want to give it up, did he?
No, I had to pry him out.
Had to pry him out of there. Trent down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. And appreciate you zooming in over here and getting in on the show once again this week. And I got some editing I got to get done and get this thing produced out. But we appreciate all y'all tuning in at home. If you're interested in sponsorship, once again, info@texaspodcastmedia.com or find us on Facebook at 599 Sports. Don't forget our Mount Rushmore of Texas high school sports. And get over there, chime in on the Facebook page. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to leave it up for another week or so. So y'all tune in for Trent Hart down in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. Toby Tolis, I'm Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. We'll see you at the game.
Hour and a half.
Do you have a dream of sitting around and talking about whatever's on your mind? Well, we're here to make that a reality here at Texas Podcast Media. We are here to make your dream a reality. Come in. Set up in our studio, we record, we edit, we do all the work, and we upload it to all the feeds, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, we do it all. Let us be your home for your podcasting. For more information, email us at info@texaspodcastmedia.com.
Howdy folks, Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary. To make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American.
Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.